The United States nuclear industry is struggling. Since 2010, only one nuclear reactor has come online in the U.S., and the price of keeping current facilities profitable is leaving many companies simply unable to compete. Here's Energy Secretary Rick Perry at a White House speech on the environment earlier this month.
By investing in innovative solutions like carbon capture, utilization, sequestration, zero emission works like our nuclear power, exporting those technologies to other countries, and we're being able to share our technologies around the world.
Perry's comments were well received by U.S. nuclear providers and echoed Donald Trump's support for the troubled industry. But the industry itself has been taking advantage of the Trump administration's business ties to Saudi Arabia, crafting a behind-the-scenes plan to export nuclear tech to the kingdom, a plan that could be in violation of U.S. law. Erin Banko is a national security reporter for The Daily Beast, and she joins us now with the story. Erin, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
So tell us what the plan is. I mean, what is the idea that the U.S. nuclear industry wants to break into the Saudi market? What's the benefit for them?
So this plan originated back in the fall of 2016 after President Trump won the election. And the plan as it was then and now is to export nuclear technology, American nuclear technology, overseas to Saudi Arabia to help the country build up its nuclear sector. So that's, you know, part of the country's vision for diversifying its economy. And American nuclear companies and firms associated with the nuclear industry thought this would be a good way to sort of get back on the map if they could, you know, compete with Russia and China and export U.S. nuclear technology overseas in general, but particularly to Saudi Arabia, given the Trump administration's close ties to the country.
I want to get into some of who is behind this. I mean, we know that there's a group, IP3. Tell us who they are and how they're connected to the U.S. nuclear industry and also to what we understand are key members of the Trump administration.
That's right. IP3 is a firm that's made up of mostly former generals who has ties to former National Security Advisor Mike Flynn. And that's where really IP3 comes into the mix, into this whole deal. You know, they have these ties to Mike Flynn, and they try to influence the incoming Trump administration by saying, hey, look, we have this grand idea for the nuclear industry, for the American nuclear industry, and we think we know how to sort of, you know, launch this comeback. And our plan is to use the technology that's made in the U.S. to export it to Saudi Arabia. So IP3 had all the connections, including with Trump advisor Tom Barrack, who is now under investigation in New York for alleged illegal lobbying schemes.
I'm wondering here, Erin, is there a better way? I mean, this feels slightly politically dangerous for the United States and perhaps for the region. Is there any other way for the U.S. nuclear industry to profit other than exploiting these ties to Saudi Arabia?
There is. I mean, the way that the nuclear industry has traditionally over the past 5-10 years relied on profits is by, you know, processing nuclear fuel. The export game is sort of been lost over the past 10 years for the nuclear industry, in part because of the closing of some major plants and sort of the dwindling of research focused on nuclear technology that can build reactors. But I think what IP3 and others saw with the incoming Trump administration was this very cozy relationship between Jared Kushner and President Trump with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia. And I think what these firms saw is a way to sort of capitalize off of that relationship and to build up the industry's export game once again. The only problem is that exporting to Saudi Arabia comes with a lot of different legal and obviously ethical issues, given the Trump's relationship to Mohammed bin Salman.
And outside of ethical concerns, you've written that it also raises concerns about potential threats to our national security. Can you tell us a little bit more about those?
That's right. So the U.S. signs nuclear deals with countries all over the world. And when the U.S. signs those nuclear deals, they have to do a couple of different things, including signing a 1-2-3 agreement, which sort of lays out the terms for nonproliferation between the two countries. There are a couple of additional nuclear safeguards that go into place. But then there's this thing called the gold standard. And the public can think of this as sort of the strictest nuclear safeguard that there is. And the U.S. sort of developed that standard in 2009 with the United Arab Emirates. And ever since, they've tried to uphold that standard. And what it says is basically a foreign country has to, in perpetuity, agree not to use American technology or any technology to develop a nuclear weapon. Saudi Arabia has really pushed back against this idea, pointing to Iran and the Iran nuclear deal as a reason to sort of push back against this gold standard. And so what firms like IP3 were doing is trying to get a nuclear deal on the table without having Saudi Arabia agree to uphold the gold standard, because they knew from very early on that the country was never going to do that.
Aaron, we've got about a minute left in the segment, but I want to make sure we get in the fact that Congress is wrapping up an investigation on this. And in our last minute here, how do you expect this to play out? Will this continue, or will there be any congressional oversight?
I think given the House Oversight's report that came out on this topic, there will be some hearings held once Congress comes back from recess, but it'll really be up to, you know, people like in the House Oversight Committee, or, you know, for example, Senator Tim Kaine has been outspoken on this, to collectively try to bring people together and get these hearings on the books. There's so much else going on. It's really going to be interesting to see what happens post recess.
Aaron Banco is a national security reporter for The Daily Beast. Aaron, thanks so much.
Thank you.